A company's CEO signs a multi-million dollar contract. She never negotiated it, never read the final draft, and wasn't even in the country when the ink dried. Yet the company is fully bound. That outcome isn't a legal accident, Doris. It's agency law, working exactly as designed. The restatement, third of agency, defines the relationship precisely. It arises when a principal manifests assent that an agent will act on the principal's behalf and subject to the principal's control, and the agent consents. Three parties appear in every agency story: the principal, the agent, and the third party who deals with the agent. Understanding how those three interact is the foundation of everything you'll study in both contracts and torts. Think of a real estate broker hired to sell a house. The homeowner is the principal, the broker is the agent, the buyer is the third party. The broker negotiates, signs documents, and makes representations, all on the homeowner's behalf. Now here's what surprises most first-year students. That relationship doesn't require a formal written contract to exist. An agency relationship may arise from the party's conduct, even if they never use the word agency and never intend its legal consequences. Control is the critical element, not paperwork. If the principal has the right to direct how the agent performs the work, the law will likely find an agency relationship, regardless of what the parties call it. That distinction matters enormously when courts decide who bears liability. Now, authority is where agency law gets precise and where exam questions live. Actual authority comes in two forms. Express authority is directly communicated. The principal tells the agent to sign a specific contract. Implied authority fills the gaps. It's inferred from the principal's words, conduct, or circumstances, covering whatever is reasonably necessary to accomplish an authorized task. An agent ordinarily lacks implied authority to take action the principal expressly prohibited. That boundary is firm. Then there's apparent authority, and this one protects third parties. Apparent authority exists when a third party reasonably believes the agent is authorized because of a manifestation attributable to the principal. The key idea here is that apparent authority is assessed from the principal's conduct toward the third party, not from the agent's own claims. A salesperson who tells a customer, "I have authority to offer this discount," creates no apparent authority by that statement alone. The principal's prior conduct toward that customer is what counts. A principal can be bound by an agent's contract when the agent acted with actual or apparent authority, and even after actual authority ends, apparent authority may linger until third parties receive proper notice. The fiduciary dimension of agency is equally critical, Doris, especially for your torts work. The principal-agent relationship is fiduciary by nature. That means the agent owes the principal duties of loyalty, care, and good faith. The duty of loyalty requires the agent to act primarily in the principal's interests and to avoid conflicts or unauthorized personal benefits. Think of a corporate officer secretly steering a contract to a company she owns. That's a textbook loyalty breach. On the tort side, respondeat superior is the doctrine you'll encounter constantly. A principal can be liable for torts committed by an employee or agent within the scope of employment. The employer doesn't have to be present. The employer doesn't have to approve the wrongful act. Liability flows because the agent was acting within the scope of the relationship. But remember, respondeat superior generally does not impose vicarious liability for the conduct of an independent contractor. Whether a worker is an employee or independent contractor depends on multiple factors, especially the degree of the principal's control over the details of the work. That control test echoes the same logic that defines agency itself. The takeaway from everything you've covered here is this. Agency law is the legal framework that allows one person to be held responsible for the actions and agreements of another. It is the connective tissue between contract obligations and tort liabilities. When a contract is signed by an agent, the principal is bound. When a tort is committed by an employee in scope, the employer pays. The mechanism running beneath both outcomes is agency. You'll see it in every business transaction, every employment dispute, every professional relationship. Master the three parties, understand the types of authority, respect the fiduciary duties, and apply the control test. An agency law stops being invisible, Doris. It becomes the clearest framework in your first-year curriculum.